TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. So I just want to encourage you this morning. One good reason why you want to get in the Word and kind of soak. I remember when I was a deputy and they had a standard evaluation form. I mean, it was standard for everyone. And you have to, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, a large body of employees and a variety of work and all that. But it was pretty simple. Each particular point, I think it was score, you get 1 to 8. Mm-hmm. 8's really good. And I think 1, you're looking for another job. Not sure. I know there's a couple that probably need 1s right now in some locals. Anyway, so the, but what was interesting was each particular unique evaluation, if you get a 1, it had an explanation of what that meant. And if you had a 2, it had an explanation of what that one meant. Mm-hmm. And you had 3, had explanation what that one meant. But it wasn't concurrent. It wasn't like, you know, you got to do everything that you had in 1 and you got to do 2 to make a 2. Right. And then if you want to do, you make a 5, then you have to be able to do everything in 1, 2, 3. They're all like unique statements. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what you got to do if you want an 8 or whatever the number was. It could have been like soccer, like 3, very low scoring game. I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, me, I'm looking and they go, wow, that's pretty, that's a description of how my future will look right there.
There it is.
I took that evaluation form and I put it on the visor of my, my cruiser, and I was on patrol and I would just make sure I did those, you know, 4 or 5 things, which mm-hmm. I did anyway, but hey, now I know like, hey, that's, I'm qualifying for an 8, whatever right. that was. And lo and behold, I got a 1. No message. No, I mean, it was just real simple to do. If you know what's expected of you, if you know what's expected of you, if you call yourself a believer or a Christian, you know what God expects of you, just do it with a good heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a deputy. I wanted to be in law enforcement. I liked what I was doing, except for the times I was running for my life and somebody was shooting and stuff. But other than that, and a few muster room experiences, I enjoy what I was doing. And so I wanted to do well. I wanted to do my job well. And it's very important, by the way, if you are in law enforcement, no matter how you feel, because of your authority and because of what you carry, guns, ability to lock people up and ruin their destiny if you don't do your job well, it's important for you to do your job well. And it's not, and we have to, you know, that's just part of that particular job. And, if you start going for a period of time and you feel like you can't do it well and you're like you're a 2 or 3 on the evaluation, it's just time to look elsewhere for another employment, because it's just we're putting too much trust.
No doubt.
You're entrusted with so much. And everybody, you know, they say a lot of people switch jobs. You know, they get tired of this job and they find another job. There's nothing wrong with that. And but once you start losing your desire and hope for mankind and wanting to do good towards your neighbor, and everybody is equal, deserves equal justice, and you know, you get a mindset like everybody's a dirt bag, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. And you go through those moments because, by the way, because they only call you when bad things are happening. They don't call you, hey, just come over. We're having a family reunion. We got some chicken and dumplings and some fried chicken over here and some black-eyed peas. And we just wanted to come and just let you enjoy the celebration. They just call you at the end of the family reunion when Uncle Bob and Uncle Jim are at each other's throat because they had too much punch.
That's right.
And so you can have a tendency, if you don't have a life outside of that, that all of a sudden everybody's just, you know, causing problems. But they just call you when the problem's there. Mm. Sort of like fathers. No, anyway, so, and you can, but getting back to putting that evaluation form on my visor, I knew what was expected of me. You know, one thing I believe, I'm drawing, man, I'm pulling from the depths of historical events here. So I might get this wrong, and I'm sure it's changed by now. I hope it has. But it was like, you know, help your fellow deputy out, your fellow officer, you know, help them, assist them. You know, when they're on a call, you know, back them up. And
help them through things and just partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of just sitting in a coffee shop or running radar because you want a whole bunch of tickets, you know, to be able to bring in, you know, each one has their own gift. And that was not my gift. But
writing tickets?
No, it wasn't my gift. Well,
I don't like that gift.
I just want to say I'm sorry to everybody I had to write a ticket to.
Good.
And those ones serving 10 years, you know, it just was written in, it was, I'm just holding you what was written in the law. Anyway, so I was able to do what was there. And that's what you take scripture, like John used to do. Remember, he used to put it on a cue card and stick it in his dash. And
that's right.
I don't know how you could see it. His seat was so close to the steering wheel.
I could see it.
Could you see it? He had to read it like this. So the Lord, it was like, it was so close. I hit my chin on my knee when I rode with him once. No, seriously, just keep the word before you and be a doer of the word.
That's right.
You just look. He said, and God says, you know, lend to the poor. Stop your car. Stop texting anyway when you're driving. Don't even look at it. Just kind of look away from it, your phone. And look outside. And
stop
the skies are
me.
Blue. And understand that that guy on the side of the street or that lady or those kids, you can stop and give them something. And that's what God says. He says, he that lends to the poor lends to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or he said, go make disciples of the nation. If you know something in God, you should be teaching what you know to someone else.
That's right.
You shouldn't be bragging about, this is what I know. Well, who else knows that because you know that? You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, God comforted me. God comforted me and comforted us through these trials and tribulations so that in turn we can comfort you with the comfort God gave us. And it's like, so many people say, I have a testimony. God just really cushioned me through this. And the next thing is, the next part of the verse is, but who did you cushion? Who did you care for? Who did you comfort? Because now you know God would comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And, I pray God would comfort them too. And it's like, no, he actually would demonstrate his comfort through us. And that's one of the expectations.
Right.
So you can take the judgment evaluation and you can put it on your visor called the Word of God. And you can say, you know, I don't want to, you know, get a promotion or a raise here. But I want to do well before God. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So what does he want me to do? And you know, one of the things he says, whatever I've given you, I want you to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus once a day, once a week, you know, I'm going to invest that thing. I'm going to invest that talent. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're a reader. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you make these widgets for yourself, but, you know, once a week you make widgets that you just give away. So God's blessed you with the ability to make that. And so you're making it for yourself. You're making it for yourself. But pause for a moment and make some for someone else and just give it away. I mean, God's into that. He's into us sharing that aspect of it. And in that, he says, you know, I'll bless you when you do this. I'll bless you. So I want to encourage you, if you want to pass your evaluation at the throne of God, am I missing it? Is this correct? I mean, isn't there expectations of us?
Real expectations.
Yeah. Y'all remember Pittman when he's like,
"Ooh,
let me evaluate you, God, in my life." Howard Pittman, he says.
Wrong move.
Yeah, wrong move. And so he showed up with his own evaluation of God in his life at the throne room of God. I mean, he died on an operating table, showed up with his own personal evaluation for him, with a whole list of things that he thought should happen in his life. And needless, by the way, he died on the operating table. I mean, you think that would humble you, right? But in his spirit, he just showed up before the throne room of God. And he didn't even make it into the throne room. He's standing by this is his testimony.
Outside the gate, wasn't it?
No, it was actually outside a door jam. You know what I'm saying?
How he under the threshold.
And it's Howard Pittman. He writes about it in the book, Gospels, I believe. Placebo Gospel. Placebo Gospel, not Gospels. And he has a list in his hand. And he's fixing to evaluate God. But how many people do you really know that really do? They really, God, this is what I want you to do. And it's like, I think that the sheriff's going to evaluate you. You're not going to evaluate, the deputy's not going to evaluate the sheriff. Right. You know, the chief is going to evaluate you. The police officer's not going to evaluate, you know what I'm saying?
Evaluating how good God did for them.
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
You scored about an 80 on this, God. I really preferred a better job than this, but this will do. Thank you very much.
And your word says, yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm holding you to your word. And the next thing you're going to hear what Petman heard was, oh, yeah, I'm holding you to my word, too. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, when he has this list in his hand, he's going to present this list to God. You got to read about this in the book, Placebo Gospel. It will change your perspective. It will definitely deliver you from the American placebo gospel that's taught in a lot of places. And placebo is a pill that looks like a pill, but it's nothing but nothing in it.
Fake.
Hollow. Empty. And he has this list in his hand, and all of a sudden, imagine every storm that you've ever heard at the very same time. And we've heard a lot lately.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that when we're talking. Pat's always like, "Oh yeah,
another revelation."
He used to have a really good memory. Now he just kind of stares. He does so much. Now, if you make in front of him that years down the road, and he's sitting there staring off into the horizon in his rocking chair, realize the man's done a lot.
That's right,
a lot. And just kind of like get him some warm milk or something. Anyway, so he'll go, oh, yeah. So here is Howard. Howard has this list in his hand. He's going to talk to God. And he's standing, imagine standing in the door jamb, the doorway, but to the side. The angel set him to the side where he couldn't see in the door to the throne of God. So he's not even in the presence of God. Mm. Then all of a sudden, lightning and thunder and roaring and just shaking and quaking, and it was God talking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he dropped his evaluation form.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Imagine that. Why wait till you get before the throne room of God to find out you're the one being evaluated, not God?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are criticizing or critiquing God because they fall into the deception of pride, when you're the one and we're the ones that are actually going to be evaluated before God. But he's given us the evaluation now. It's the word of God, and we can get into the word now, put it in the visors, the visual aspects of our life, and abide with him and just begin to do the word and find out, you know, we could do well on this exam. It's mm-hmm. an open book test.
Hello.
82% of you. It's an open book test. It's open book. I'll never forget when I was in school back in 18 and 12. Uh-huh. And I thought, oh, here comes a test. And they say it was an open book test. It's like this big sigh across the room, you know, not sigh. Let's just move on. But a big awe across the room, like, oh, open book test, you know, open book test. And this is an open book exam.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to look intently in the word and study what's expected of you. And then you got to do what it says. So you're blessed in all you do. And when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to say, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, which means you
did something.
Well, as they say down south, you done did something. You done did something.
Right.
No, not well, whatever, you know, is well done. And what happened was all of a sudden every storm kind of met at the same time. It was just the voice of God, and you could just feel the judgment of God. And it was just so hard. He dropped his little, you know, evaluation form. I think he's going to give God a 2 or something.
Mm.
And because he just had more things he felt he needed to progress in his job as God. You know what I'm saying? He needed to allow him to be sheriff in Louisiana somewhere. He needed to stay longer as a pastor in a pastorate. And in the context of that, he dropped that. And now he was just grabbing for life and thinking, it's over as I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And just this judgment began to just come out. Just the voice of God brought such deep conviction. It's like you could just feel how God was upset. And then it was like it was over. I blew it. Everything I did, by the way, and he was a pastor for 5 years. Mm. So we're not doing God a favor. We're not like, I just want to know, you know, I'm in here because I became a pastor. God says more in his word about shepherds, false shepherds, pastors, than he does about false prophets, by the way, just so you know, just so you know that.
Mm.
So we need to be, which means we developed our own evaluation form. That's what that means, by the way. It means that we just went our own way and did what was right in our own mind, and we didn't bother to look at what the judge was going to say, what our father was going to say when we come there. And, you know, and if your father gives you some expectations, believe it or not, I don't know It might not be that way today in a lot of areas, but this is how fathers used to be. You better do it. You better do it. And when his car pulls up in the driveway, or, you know, like Pat, his limousine pulls up and his driver's open his door, you know, when you hear those feet print coming into the footsteps coming into the house, I mean, you're like, boom, yeah. That's just his driver coming around. He's a big guy. Then you hear click, tick, 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 tick. That's his tap shoes. He's coming out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, you know we're just joking.
You got a lot of jokes.
But, you know, do you remember that? I mean, do you remember? It's like, oh, my goodness, I remember we could clean the house when our parents came home between the driveway and the front door.
Hey, that thing's spotless.
We could clean, and it was amazing. It was horrifically hard to do when we had this free time, but we cleaned. But we knew what we were supposed to do. And today, it's like, you know, a father would show up and nothing changes and everybody's lounging around. And they had no idea that how important those expectations of their father was to them. And it's like this happening with God now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's an open book test. You can look and see what God expects from you. And you can look at the word that day. And then you can do what it says. You know, love people, help people, encourage people, teach people, disciple believers, tell people about the glory of God, you know, and watch the goodness of God. And then you can be comforted. Well, let me finish the story about Howard Pittman and before we go to break. There's good news about it, because he thought it was over. He thought it was over. He could feel the judgment of God and just the voice of God. Then all of a sudden, now that, as a good father would, God began, after dealing with his issues and his sin, his pride, then all of a sudden the father's heart, the balance of the kindness and the sternness of God. He first faced the sternness, but just like any father, all of a sudden, even though God was angry at me for what I did with the pride of my life and how I wasted my life and how I thought I was going to tell God what to do, now he's loving on me. And he could just feel the father's love as God was ministering to him. And it just blows your mind when you have balanced father leadership in your life. When you know, it's not over because you get rebuked. You know, it's actually a good thing because you know that somebody's telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. And God was speaking truth to him, because you think about it, if he wouldn't have repented, then he would have went with the 70% that he saw in this vision. You can get his book. Mm-hmm. Approximately 70% that were going to hell. More were going to hell than were going to heaven.
Yes, for sure.
And he would have been that way if he would not have repented at that point. And then he just feels like, my goodness, the same God that was rebuking me, that I thought it was over, now he's loving on me. I can feel this deep, intense, fathering love. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
And it was this encounter with the kindness and the sternness of God with the father's heart so changed his life that all of a sudden they said, now is not your time. The angel escorted him out of heaven. Boom, he came right back into his body. His body came alive again on the operating table, and he hit the road, and he didn't stop until he told everybody he could. He did not stop talking about the kindness and the sternness of God, about the placebo gospel that's being preached to people that says there's no expectations, you're not going to be evaluated, there's not going to be a day of judgment, you're not going to have to answer for what you didn't do or what you did do, and that the kindness and the sternness of God, the father's heart. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but like any father, there's something you got to do in relationship. You got to look. It's an open book test. Look at the expectations of God, and his plans are good for you, plans to bless you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. We're all going to be evaluated. It's not just your boss or your supervisor, and you're not going to be able to say, hey, I just want it. You're sitting with your boss. And you're a Christian, imagine this, and you're going in to get evaluated for how well you're doing your job. And maybe you're a secretary, maybe you're a manager, maybe you're an officer, maybe you're a politician. And they say, hey, you know, I'm going to evaluate you on your job. And before they start getting to the details, you just go, I'm just going to plead the blood. And they say, okay, cool, okay, cool, got it. I love Jesus too, dude. But listen, it's not your spirit I'm worried about, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
It's your flesh, because your flesh is touching my stuff.
That's right.
That was
classic. I'm going to evaluate I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. Me too, brother. But let me tell you something. We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
Well, I thought you was a believer. I am. Mm-hmm. I read the book. I'm training you up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show up like Howard Pittman with a list and just say, you know, I just plead the blood.
No, that's
and,
like, right.
And Jesus is going to say, you're going to plead my blood? I got that part. Well, cool. Let's talk about what you did and you didn't do. And how foolish that sounds in the context of saying that to your boss. And although, by the way, I do know some bosses that have evaluated people have heard that. Yeah, I'm just trusting Jesus. It's like, well, I'm trusting to you that you're going to do what I ask you to do, too. You know, I'm praying to the same Jesus you're talking about that you're going to hear me and do the job, you know, so I don't have to give you a transition package into the your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rest of my destiny? Not here, you know? And so how foolish that sounds before a man or a woman who's evaluating you for the job that you were hired for, when God says he didn't just save you to save you, he saved you for a call, purpose, a destiny. There's expectations from God. I mean, a judgment seat of Christ, come on. A judge is going to evaluate our lives. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we get in. But if that's the only thing that we profess, then we never were truly a believer. Because a believer who believes the chair will hold them will sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
A believer who believes in the evaluation form, this is how you live your life, they just do it because they believe that. So I want to encourage you, be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer, which would be merely deceived. But if you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My granddaughter took a Jesus bedtime storybook to school for her teacher to read, and her teacher said no, she couldn't read anything of a religious nature.
Yeah. Was this going to be read by the teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be an overreaction by the school administration. The difficulty is when they're reading a book and you got the teacher reading it to the class, their concern is what's called state action, meaning that now you've got the school involved in giving a religious point of view in the book. It's not simply the student reading it, it's the teacher reading it. And the courts recognized and have said that there's this crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which would be a teacher, which is prohibited by the Establishment Clause, and private speech, student speech, endorsing religion, which is protected by both the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clause.
If you have questions about what's allowed in school, visit ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we'll welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. I want to welcome on the Gulf Coast every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're so humbled about being there, but we know that God has called us to be able to be light, you know, on the Gulf Coast and on VFN radio around the nation and around the world. We're just getting requests in from Pakistan. We'll say a big shout out to all of our sisters and brothers in Pakistan, as our president would say, to be able to, you know, come and somehow participate and speak, you know, mm-hmm. in a virtual way. There's just so many different ways to be able to just give hope and share. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Lord Jesus, asleep on the hill.
It's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past and, you know, having, you know, an adult, you know, fatherless son on a phone and yet reaching out for the next generation. And it was so cool. A lot of them, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man. He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in mm-hmm. highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now, got kids and mm-hmm. all that
amazing
stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He was my he was preaching. Mm-hmm. And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But mm-hmm. then he was just a boy. But now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember mm-hmm. when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom. And she looked at the guy next door in the a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for during the 10-year period of going to the wow. next step, you know, Outback Father and Son Camp and mm-hmm. Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? The nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for Him is in vain.
That's right.
But mm-hmm. realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for Him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good. Mm-hmm. It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart, and mm-hmm. I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that right. you're saying. Can you say it in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? Mm. The you know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, mm-hmm. he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, mm-hmm. I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the family. I mean, he mm-hmm. studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And just joking. And I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids, I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something. Mm-hmm. And it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try. You know, a single mother or a single father or double parents, everybody has an individual will. You know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting, which explained that person.
Yeah.
to the T. Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dobson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
Now, let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about... He said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done.
Probably.
Yeah. And he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh, my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy.
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, so young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. You know, you think it you know, anyway, so and so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong, and so I'm gonna go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John, everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says, right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that? Yeah, they really last longer than that sentence, you know. Just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God. But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager, and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition, you know. And if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit, you know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, than to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduced them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
Sam is so nice.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody—that's what God does to us.
Sure.
And that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric, and I have a lot of theories about that, and I have a lot of word of knowledge about that, but aren't talking about that much, but the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth a child. Everything's, there's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah,
and the government just wants to be replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one. Mm-hmm. That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God, and the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one. Where, you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure,
they cry out to government. You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And, you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a whole different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body, that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated, says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up. And that's how God is. It's like God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me. And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here in my well of rebellion. You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus' blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and women, it's time to play the man, it's time to play the woman, it's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world, but it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at you look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf and to remember. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. Mm-hmm. And sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price, but we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million. And they realized some really interesting things that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard. Didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks. And now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff. Thinking that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what, that's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age of 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got 3 kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right, that type of thing? It's like,
serious.
You're not grown up by 25. Come on,
dude. It's half of 50.
Yeah. It's half of 50. And you look at our generations past. I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up, mm-hmm. nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for.
What's yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves. Because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on. Because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this, I got so convicted, I walked away, I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy's gone, oh, this is great, this is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. it's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I want to encourage you, right where you are, right this very moment, you can go after God. You can go to the VFN Torch and go to personal transformation. You know, where do I begin? And just type in abiding, actually, in the searcher if you wanted to. And just right where you are, think about it. You can take a challenge and just begin to walk with God and begin to abide with him. And beginning with you first, you know, we have what? How many days before what's going to happen? I don't know. But just know this. Know this, that begin with yourself first. Begin with yourself first. And once you, say, spend 6 weeks of abiding with the Lord, you can find a plan at iabide.org. Mm-hmm. You know, then you can look around and see who God is asking you to challenge for the same 6 weeks. And then you say, you know what? Here's an abiding plan. You know, take the 6 week challenge like I did and begin to abide with God. And then while they're abiding with the Lord on a daily basis, say, hey, let's meet together once a week and just talk about what God's saying to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and like maybe challenge maybe 4, 5, 6 other people like that. And so every day they're abiding by themselves with God, hearing God's voice. John 15, he said, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. Then when you come together, you get to hear what God's saying. It's very encouraging. It's like being the church, you know, being the church. And then you basically have a gathering of abiders right there, because church is people. It's not buildings, places, or things. And now begin to challenge, get other people in your fellowship to begin to do the same thing. And next thing you know, you have all these different groups inside your fellowship that are healthy and whole. And every day, every week that you're coming together, you know, to worship God, every one of you heard from God all week long. And the one big encounter is an amen encounter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to keep the land that God's giving you there in regards to the spiritual stronghold, the good stronghold, because we're going to need all these places for God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things. Is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just gonna vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's gonna think like you did that on purpose. No, really, I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone. Mm-hmm. It takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had 3 new phones. Gosh. 3 new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Don't
and take. I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation. Yeah,
the other one worked
them.
For years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our southern draw. I think it's our southern draw. We got you know, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus on
it. He does really good. I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Right. He's like, oh, I didn't
know
about
that one.
Are you
calling me heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And let me tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, cheat. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're gonna have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Sophisticated. Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and I
doubt.
Have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of all the things you can do is get right with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can go to meetmyfather.org to be able to read a couple of our stories. And it will encourage you to go, hey, you know, Pat was really a bad dude and God still saved him. He's a sign and a wonder, right?
That's right. He is.
Yeah, right. And his son's first message, evangelistic message, was a lot like yours, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. So what happened? Tell us what happened.
One of his friends, from the school bus, they come home and, you know, they're playing or whatever at the house. And somehow the conversation came up about God, and he's so obviously my son just took the opportunity to start evangelizing and just started talking about God.
He's been reading a particular Bible.
Yeah, he's reading, it's called the Action Bible. And if you don't know what that is, it's a Bible that's it's illustrated. It's almost like a comic book style where, you know, a kid could obviously understand it.
Is it true comic? It was written up in a way that's truth in it?
Oh, yeah, it's all truth. It's it's strictly scripture, but it's just written and it's, you know, an easy way for, you know, a child to understand
it. It's a cool Bible.
And it's very, I mean, I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, wow, that is cool.
Right.
And, he took the boy through Genesis all the way to Revelations, you know, and what sparked it, I think the boy asked him, he goes, where'd all the languages come from? And Jonathan, because he knew it, because he read it from cover to cover, says, oh, let me tell you. And so he whips it out and goes to Genesis and shows, look, Tower of Babel, and he explains the whole story. So it was
he had
cool.
his Bible with him?
Oh, yeah, they're on the front porch going through it.
Oh, my goodness. It's a cool Bible. Yeah. If you're looking for a Bible that really sparks your child's interest and draws them in to have a desire to learn about the things of God, it's called the Action Bible. Mm-hmm. You can find it, you know, on Amazon.com, and the front cover of it has like pictures of David and Jesus and Samson and I'm looking at it right now. I don't know who that is right there. Gideon, it looks like he's on there, and it's just stories, picture stories,
yeah,
with little captions underneath it. So obviously they're getting the gist of it. But the thing about the Bible is that if you draw near to God, it draws near to you.
Mm-hmm.
And by going after God, God will meet that child. Mm-hmm. And they'll have this awesome encounter. I mean, that's just totally amazing. I love to hear Jonathan share about his abiding time with God. And what he says, just powerful things.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, he hears from the Lord in such a powerful way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so beautiful to see children. Mm-hmm. And, children.
And he gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to actually abide every morning now.
Does he?
On his own. That's his alarm.
Isn't that beautiful?
So proud of him.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Huh? Mm-hmm. The generational curse is broken.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Radical. That was Jesus a radical? He was, wasn't he a radical?
He was pretty radical. Yeah.
He was rocking every place he went. I mean, the place was just getting turned upside down, including when he went into the temple, he started saying, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Kick over. That's not right. Hit with a whip. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We got to read the red letters again. Yeah. We got to get in touch with the red blood of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. that cleanses sin and the red letters in the Word of God. Listen, I don't want you, you know, to be offended. Understand, and the truth offends only those who don't want to follow it. Mm-hmm. You know, and all we got to do if we weren't following it is just go, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah, that's what I want. I want God. Mm-hmm. I want God. And so you don't want to be offended by it. You want to be, think about it. You know, we're not making progress. We're actually declining. Everything's declining in the American church, and things are shifting to other nations. As a matter of fact, listen to Steve Hill right now. Steve Hill and Peter Wagner discuss the very same thing. I'll be right back.
And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
Think about it. We're not making progress in America. Is that not enough? I mean, if you're on a football team, and the point of the being on the football team is to score points, and we're not scoring points, maybe we need to rethink our playbook. Maybe we need to mm-hmm. rethink what we're doing. Let's go back to the original playbook. Let's go back to the original word. Let's just say, you know what, God, you are right. Here I am. Send me. Maybe VFN's for you. Vine Fellowship Network. You can get to it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, or just go to VFNFamily.org. That's VFNFamily.org.